Hello and welcome to another episode of Digital Economy 101 podcast. I'm your host Dino Oreski and our guest today is Puja Zargar, statistics guru, business and data analyst, marketing strategist, academic, researcher and a teacher. We shall unwrap the importance of the most important fuel of digital marketing, the data. Hi Puja and welcome to the show.
Hello Dino, thank you very much for having me.
Can you elaborate on why data is considered to be the backbone of digital marketing today?
Well, as we know, today we have a very competitive market in every industry. So having informed decision-making is one of the key strategic points of data, enabling marketers to have informed decision-making processes. And then also through data, we can target campaigns or have targeted campaigns, which means that we are personalizing experiences for our customers, and that is only possible through having data. And also data enables us to increase our optimization level and efficiency rates in what we do in the marketing department, because we can look at the data and then come up with better solutions. And then through data, we can also have deep understanding of customer preferences, behaviors, needs, and what they are looking for through customer insights. And also at the end of the day, I think data enables us to establish and develop a competitive edge in this market because we can have better decisions.
Right. And businesses usually tend to get, let's say, raw data. So how can they transform the raw data into actionable marketing strategies? Can you maybe share an example? How does this process work?
Right. So usually there's a few steps to having this type of things in action. First thing we do is we collect and integrate whatever the data we need, whether it's CRM or let's say, as an example, let's say we have an e-commerce company. And to collect the data, we first collect customer transactions such as purchases or the order value. And then we check the website interactions such as page views, clicks, time spent. And also we can collect other types of data like marketing, email marketing, open rates, CTRs, or social media data from engagement metrics, comments, shares, or even loyalty, such as customer feedback survey. And then after this stage, which is integrating all the data that we have, we clean and then we process the data. In this stage, we make sure the data we have doesn't have errors, or we turn it into a standardized format, or we check for duplicates or any type of error that we can find in the issue, any inconsistencies. So we check for basically reliability and validity of our data. And then after this stage, we analyze our data to see what we can understand, the key drivers or demographics or based on the segments we think there are. And then this enables us to have a targeted segmentation for the company, which means we know now what groups of customers we have, what type of customers we have. As the retail example, we can see how many loyal customers that we have, occasional buyers, when do we have the high value customers, when do we have less of the customers. And then after this, we can create campaigns that are personalized and customized based on all of the things that we learned. And then in this case, we can increase our ROI or ROAS or other metrics that are important for the company through A/B tests or different tactics that we can come up with through data analysis. And at the end, I think this process gives us an iterative improvement in which we can always improve because we're constantly monitoring everything when we're trying to refine these criteria that we're working with.
And talking about the personalized marketing, which is now becoming a standard in 2024, why is it crucial for enhancing the customer experience?
Well, I think right now in terms of customer behavior, most people are aware of what they want to do. And their purchase decision-making is no longer like, let's say, our grandparents, where they didn't have a lot of alternatives to go through, or they didn't have internet access to check all the other forms of the product or service that you need. So that's, I think, the main key variable that I take from here.
Right. And talking
if that
about,
makes sense.
Yes, it does. And you have mentioned a lot of tools and technologies. What are the essential tools for digital marketeers, and what tools do you recommend for effective data analysis in digital marketing?
Oh, well, as you know, Dino, we have different types of data based on their nature. So I think a good data analyst or a marketer would have not to be advanced in all of the tools, but at least know what they are. So for instance, if you have a textual data that you want to analyze through strings, then you need a program such as MaxQDA that helps a lot. Or if you're just looking at web analytics, I think Google Analytics is very common. Mm-hmm. And maybe Zoho for CRM or HubSpot for CRM tools. And in terms of marketing automation tools, maybe MailChimp for emails, and HubSpot also, it has that. Or data visualization tools, I use Power BI, but there is Tableau and Google Data Studio and other BIs. And what else I can tell you is for social media analytics, I sometimes use my own made up methods, but Sprout Social is good, and Hootsuite also has some cool tools that people can use. For SEO, maybe SEMrush. I know you are also familiar with this tool. SEMrush is pretty comprehensive for SEO. Google Tag Manager for checking codes, tracking your analytics or remarketing things or conversion goals. And I'm not a coding guy, but if somebody's into machine learning, so I think IBM Watson Studio is very common. My friends, everybody uses that. And for statistical analysis, this is where I come in, you know, as you know.
And there are many analytics, yes.
Yeah, there are many tools people can use, or Python. I recently started using Python myself, but there are offline software tools such as SPSS, SAS, Excel, and Smart PLS, where you can create your own statistical model and then conduct your hypothesis testing there.
And all of those tools, the majority of them, uses big data in their right. Backend system. So, meaning big data literally transformed the traditional marketing approach. And what opportunities do they present for the marketeers today?
You mean in terms of big data?
Yes.
So first off, I think the most important thing is the data-driven decision-making that comes out of big data. Because when we analyze big data, then definitely our decisions are more accurate. I'm being maybe too confident on this. We have always error, but it's known. So if you know the error, you're still more effective, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. So then I think also we have a bigger or deeper understanding of generally people and customer behavior. So we can understand what they have done in the past and how they may react to certain tactics, or how they may purchase in the future. And through big data also, we have personalization and targeting coming to a completely different level. Before, maybe even 7-8 years ago, it wasn't like this. So right now, personalization and targeting techniques are really, really deep. And that's, I think, thanks to big data. Also, real-time marketing. I think this is something that through big data, marketers always have these track interactions that enables them to optimize right when they see something, which also was not available before. And predictive analysis is right now better through big data, because it gives us more dynamic aspects to analyze and tackle the issues that we see. For instance, if I'm looking at a big amount of data and I want to look at a specific problem, let's say for the e-commerce example, if I want to just increase my ROI and I want to look at all the data that I have just to accomplish this single task, through big data, I can now do this. Or if I don't know it, I can hire some people who can do that for me. And without big data, we wouldn't be able to do that, which, again, as I said in the beginning, it gives us a competitive advantage in the market, which I think is very, very important as everybody's competing with everybody in everything.
and combining the two, meaning big data and personalized marketing activities, we slowly are getting to concerns, and those concerns are more of the ethical nature, concretely data privacy. So what implications of using the consumer data and big data, predictive analysis and so on, do we have in digital marketing today?
To be ethical?
Yes. Well, we should be as marketeers.
I think you're right. We should be. Everybody should be. Yeah. I think we should be to a level that nobody talks about ethics anymore. That's, I think, utopia. But anyway, I think it's more of an aware process that organizations are responsible for rather than a tool that enables us to do it. For instance, to be transparent and have consent regarding every type of data that a company opts in or out, or the mechanisms of the data that a company uses, I think it's more on the management that they make sure there are policies to deal with these things. And there are different tactics. For example, I myself do when I'm running data for a company that maybe I work with, or it's just a project, such as data minimization, where I don't take more data than I need. And that makes it more ethical because I'm not taking extra data. And also it avoids excessive personal information if by mistake somebody shares it. The next one is making sure everything is anonymized or pseudonymization, which is giving a different name. If you're Dino, I'm going to name you something else in my data. Mm-hmm. Or better to just not have any identifiable indicators. So to just remove every type of indicator that shows me your real information. The next one is security measures that, again, managers can implement in a company to, for example, run with the regulations of GDPR or CCPA, depending on the region, to make sure that there is data encryption, access controls, regular security audits, these kind of things, and everybody complies with everything. Again, the respecting the customer rights comes to the question, which comes back to how ethical the company is running or wants to be handled. And using the data ethically through tactics such as avoiding discriminatory practices or deceptive tactics, where I tell you I want something from your data, but I do something else with it. And so if we avoid these kind of things, then suddenly we have a better governance and we are complying with ethics more. And again, coming back to the manager role, they can educate employees. We can have training sessions or practices where everybody in the company learns how to be more ethical. And auditing practices, which can come from private companies or private advocates, where experts can come and make sure that the company has some safeguards, guidelines, and participates in ethical activities.
Great advices. And what are the, let's say, other common challenges or obstacles which businesses faces when implementing data-driven marketing strategy? On the one hand, we have all of the data privacy issues, laws, regulations, ethics, and so on. What do you see while working with your clients and customers? What are their most common challenges?
Well, the biggest challenge that I see is the quality and accuracy of data. Where most of the people whom I work with, I see that they have issues with understanding and identifying how reliable and how accurate the raw data is that we are looking at. So, for instance, we come to the next stage that an analysis has been done, and now we want to interpret that analysis where the raw data had itself issues. So that is, I think, the main thing. And mostly people tend to forget about that, to check the raw data, whether or not it has any errors. So the main issue, I would say, is data quality. Mm-hmm. And if I want to rank it, then comes data integration, where when we are using different sources of data, most companies have issues about how we can combine all that data into one platform, or how to make it into one single place that everybody can look at and understand things, which often is not possible because we have different sets of data, but there are tools and there are APIs that can overcome this challenge. Right. And privacy, as you said, there's another issue there. And then resource constraints, where there is limited budget or limited expertise. You don't know, you don't have the people to actually know how to solve your problem. So they have been, sometimes I have clients where they have had several business analysts or data scientists coming, and because they had their own, let's say, not, I don't want to say agenda, but they had their own theories or assumptions, they were not open to see the data as it is, if it makes sense. You know what I mean? So there's a deviation there. For example, if I'm I've seen it, to be honest, in academic life, because when there's a professor, for example, they don't really accept what you say, even though they know you're right. So this is the problem, because they're the professor and you're not. So sometimes that deviation, if it comes to businesses for solution finding, it can be a challenge for managers to have that type of a consultant.
Right. And are there any emerging trends or technologies that you believe that will shape the future of this data utilization in digital marketing?
Well, of course, as we all know, there is AI, which is improving very fast. And as far as I know, the way AI is moving, it can... Still, it has problems with understanding correlations, causations, and these kind of things, but it can really help marketers as it moves forward and it develops itself. It can really help marketers in terms of defining campaigns, segmentations, and understanding questions when they quickly want to make a decision. So, you know, AI can help them a lot, and machine learning. And then we have CDPs. I'm not sure if you, maybe you have heard of them, but the customer data platforms, where everything... is centralized. I think those can be really helpful for especially somebody like me, where I can just look at one customer data platform and just dig into it for hours and come up with a solution for a company. And as you mentioned, privacy enhancing technology, there are zero trust architectures, and now there is blockchain for data transparency and federated learning and this differential privacy. There are new things coming out from the privacy aspect, which I kind of like. I think they will be helpful. And also we have contextual marketing. In my research, I've seen augmented reality and geo-targeting, which is basically an emerging marketing technique, and VR, all of these things in the next few years, I think will have much more influence on marketing and what how we do things. And last but not least, maybe we have augmented analytics, which is more non-technical user-friendly. So for those people who are not so great, maybe with the statistics or understanding data and those kind of things, then augmented analytics may be a new tool. It's not fully developed yet, but I think in a few years it can be very helpful for laymen to just understand data better.
Mm-hmm. And for those individuals that are, believe it or not, willing to do the analysis and analytics in digital marketing, what advice would you give them regarding the role of data in building a successful careers for them? Now, I'm definitely sure that you and your colleagues, that you guys are using all of the tools and materials available on the market, but for somebody who is, I don't know, fresh out of college or completely new in digital analysis world, what would be the best way for them to start with their careers?
Right. In this line, I would say the first thing that anybody has to absolutely do is to understand basics of analytics. This means a little bit of math and more statistics and a little bit of econometrics. But you generally understand the basics of what is data, how we look at things, and why we do certain things to, again, Something that when I used to teach in university, something that I used to tell to my students was that you don't need to learn the formula and you don't need to solve the formula because computers do it much better and faster than us and without error. And even if it has error, we can see. So computer is much better than us. But you need to understand why and where to use this technique and how, what do we understand when we do this? For example, if we run a correlation analysis, what do we understand? What should the manager understand from it? So that's the first thing, understanding a little bit of math and numbers. And then understanding different types of data sources where you can, for example, look at different metrics, for example, websites or social media or CRM or emails or third party or even economy data, which is time series, for example. And then checking which type of tools are more available to you to, you know, learn maybe if you don't know them, for example, Excel, SPSS, Stata, eViews, PLS, Smart PLS, and for string data, there's MaxQDA, and understanding or learning these softwares allows you to analyze any type of data that you come across to, and then you can just jump in and see where you like to be more skillful, so to develop yourself there. And then mastering customer segmentation to understand really in data analysis world, you need to really know how to segment things, not just customers, but everything. So learning customer segmentation, I think, is easier than business segmentation. So if somebody wants to start, they can start with giving a business to themselves. Let's say I want to sell shoes. And now let's do the customer segmentation. That's a good practice to understand how to segment different types of people and then implement that into strategies. And then at the end, data privacy is very important for somebody in this line, not to be an expert, but to know where not to step in. And then predictive analysis, as we talked about, it is highly important. Learning always, constantly. I'm sure you will agree with me on this. I've been in this business for about 9.5 years, around 10 years, and it's always learning. I'm always learning. There is always new things to consider. There's always new things to think about. Sometimes I just have to sit, read, and then think, do nothing. And I think this is a very important approach to have in this line of business, because if you close yourself, you become that professor that we had the example. who at some point, you are very aware, you're a very smart person, but at some point, your biases will stop you from improvement.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then would you say that your academic career, because you have a PhD, that your academic background sort of a break in your learning process, or does it help in your learning process?
I think it mostly helps. It helps me to stay up to date with what the theories are and what the experts say, but what they say and what they theorize doesn't always apply in real life. So that is, again, comes from experience and learning different things. So to have that approach that, okay, I need to know many things to be able to do one thing.
Mm-hmm. That is great conclusion. So, and to conclude our discussion today, could you share a key insight or a key takeaway for our listeners about the importance of data in digital marketing? What should they do? Where should they start? And how to apply it, basically?
Okay, to give a very brief answer to your question, start from being okay with being wrong and trusting the data, because sometimes you feel that you have a theory or you have a hypothesis, and you go with that assumption looking at the data, and then you conclude that result as well. And that's not a good thing. Trust the data, even if you're wrong. Let it be as it is, and then you understand much more from your hypothesis being rejected than when it's accepted. So that's, I think, where most of the people, at least whom I work with in my line of business, sometimes ego comes across. You know, I've been in this business for a long time. I've done this. I've worked with big companies. So what I say is true, but it may be not. So let's test that hypothesis. I think this is quite difficult for people sometimes to hear it. I repeat it to myself, so that's why I said it now here.
Okay, well, that's a great conclusion. Talking about somebody that's been in the business for 25 years and knows everything. But I have bad news for you. I mean, there was no social media 25 years ago, so we may slightly need to adapt.
Correct. Social media has incredible influence on everything, especially on younger generations. But I'm working for the attention span theory, so I don't know if you heard about it, but I'm trying to increase that. So, as you know, every 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and that's it. The attention is gone. So I think that's a wrong direction. We need to work against that.
Well, that comes across our friends from the creative departments because they have to adjust their own way of thinking and producing the ads, for example, for social media as well, to adapt to those types of attention span strategies. Because you're quite right, you have few seconds to grab the user's attention. And if your ad does not have, I don't know, CTA, for example, within the first few seconds, it will not work. We made them talk about awareness, top of the funnel thing. But when it comes to pure performance in e-commerce, for example, it will not work.
Right. It doesn't. It doesn't really.
Yep. Okay,
that is a huge problem. But thanks for this great conversation.
Thank you. I mean, we could have been talking about all of those topics for about 2 days or even more. So the most important thing is that our listeners got the right amount of data that they can use and they can start working on their own data even today, now, right after this podcast.
Right. Thank you again.
Thank you, Pua. And thank you all for listening. Please do click subscribe because we have a new show coming out soon.